We are going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26, and I will reiterate that. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. I know this, that we have spoke on this before, but then again, there are things that need to be reiterated constantly. The Gospels talk about it. We even have the Apostle Paul talking about it. So today, once again, you're going to have me talking about it, and it's the Lord's Supper. In verse 25, it says, After the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. This do ye in remembrance of me. That is the sign that he wrote this covenant out in his own blood. And he was saying basically, after this point, when this is all over with, when this evening gets over with and tomorrow, it will be a signed, sealed, and delivered covenant to you and a covenant to God. Now, remember, there is a difference between contracts and covenants. The technical difference is in a contract, the two parties agree to certain things. And if one party fails, then the contract is broken and the other person is free to do what they want. With a covenant, there are two parties involved, and each person promises to do something to fulfill their side without regard whether the other person does their part or not. In the New Testament, as in the Abrahamic covenant, the only one that made the promises was God. In the New Testament, it was Jesus, and they both said, These are the things that I will do, and they delineate the things they're going to do. In the Mosaic covenant and all this, there was a give and take where both sides said they would agree to do certain things. So it was just more of a contract thing going on there. And I bring all this up because this signed, sealed, and delivered thing is all on Christ to do for us. And he says we are to trust him to accomplish this. He is the man. He's the one that's going to bring it back about. And we're to focus on our trust on him, our faith in him. Basically what he's saying is, guys here at the supper and to us, he's saying, okay, all the blessings that I have that came to me from God the Father, I now sign over to you. That's a reference where he says, all things have been given to me and now I give them to you. All power under heaven has been given to me and I give it to you. This is the promise that he is making. He's saying, all the things that I have, I'm signing it over to you. And then he says, I'm also recognizing the fact that you are from now on considered righteous. You are to be recognized as a righteous people. Any person who believes in Jesus Christ, from the moment they trust in Jesus, they are righteous. Not perfect, they are righteous. They don't behave correctly all the time, but they are righteous. And it's not because of their behavior, it's because of the gift of God to us through Jesus Christ. And while we sometimes ourselves don't think that we are right or righteous, the heavenly host, both the good and the bad, recognize us as the righteous host of Jesus Christ. When we feel like it, or whether we don't feel like it, they know that we are the righteous host, always will be the righteous host, both now and forever. All the rights and all the privileges that Jesus himself had when he walked on this earth have been turned over to us. Now, this is a great and wonderful gift because it brings us salvation. It also brings us a great and wonderful opportunity to live in that saving grace and to experience his favor toward us so that we can go before the world and say, this is the grace of God. And that's where kind of the saying comes from when we see somebody that's in drugs or, you know, you just name all the bad things that you can think of and you go, there but for the grace of God go I. Because we all stood at some point on a precipice, on a knife's edge, and we were balancing, and God basically said, which side are you going to jump off on? Are you going to jump off on the side that trusts in Jesus Christ and His righteousness? Or are you going to go the other way? Every Christian has come to a point in their life where they realize, I have got to make a decision. And from this point on, my decision will be, and if you choose Christ, you've chosen the way of righteousness. You've chosen the way of God's favor and grace. You've chosen a way of struggle and a way of trying to get it right and not being perfect, but desiring that perfection, which He promises that someday you will have. If you looked at it and you said, I would choose this side over here because it looks like a lot more fun, righteous living and blah, blah, blah. And they choose that. If you went that way, then eventually He says, if you don't change your mind, you will have no hope. And we have discussed that in this event that was related about Lazarus, the poor Lazarus man, and the rich man. When the rich man died and he looked up in torment, he was conscious and he was aware of what was going on. And he cried out to Abraham, I've got some brothers up there and I don't want them to come over here. But that man at that point was shown no mercy, even though he prayed and was seeking mercy. He did not get it. And Abraham basically said, even though one was raised from the dead, they will not accept it. And even though Jesus did raise from the dead, there's a lot of people who do not accept it. But he says, as you do this, there's a reason for it. It's to be doing it in remembrance of me. Now, I've got straight out quote. It broke down in three sections. This is from Munce's Dictionary on the word remembrance. Remembrance should affect one's life significantly in terms of changing attitudes or by some action taken, or by taking some action is a better way to say it for me. Remembering, so when we come here, anytime we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and He says, this is what you're to do. You're to do this and remember me. This is not just a ritual. This is to be a time of us remembering what He accomplished. And He says, and because of our remembering of what He did on the cross, it should have a definite impact on our life, and our life should be significantly changing from the day we got saved till the day He takes us out of here, whether by passing over or by rapture, whatever it is, He's saying there should be this change continually going on in our life. Now, this word remembrance, I'd like to bring out some more detail, but you can kind of keep your finger right there in Corinthians because we're going to come back to it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of the sins every year. So one of the big differences is here's the contrast being made between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament is just a mere shadow of the reality that we get to experience. They saw things and they saw images, but they did not get the full impact, and we do. Old Testament is a shadow. New Testament is a reality. We're not to dwell in the shadow anymore, but we're to come into the reality and to, with faith, expect it to become more manifest in our lives. It is what actually exists now, the New Testament, and it will always exist. Where before they offered an animal, Jesus Christ offered Himself. In the Old Testament, it says that this was an annual sacrifice, and when this sacrifice was made, it brought to remembrance all of their sins, all of their past sins, everything they had done that year before. Everything was brought back to the remembrance, and they said, it's time to make another sacrifice, a renewal, another promise, another propitiation is the fancy word, which just means a covering of our sins so that we can live another year before God. The difference is, when they came forward to do their sacrifice, they remembered their past sins. But the New Testament very clearly tells us that when we come here, we're not to remember our past sins. We're to be always remembering the all-sufficient sacrifice that Jesus accomplished. We're not to be dwelling upon our sins and upon our past. We're to focus upon and remember, Jesus Christ took care of all of that for me. Everything over the last year, everything over the last week, everything over the last 10 minutes, even right now, Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient for me to stand before Him. We are to remember that sacrifice and not our sin. Every time we come here, remember the sacrifice of Christ and focus on that. The Old Testament focused on consciousness of sin. It reminded people of their failure. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, and it says, do this in remembrance of me, when we are taking and we are setting up to take it, we are to be going, wow, I remember that Jesus Christ gave His life for me. I remember and focus on this. I am now the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I have proper standing with the Lord God Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth. We stand before Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Now, I'd like to go back to Corinthians. Remember, the Old Testament brought back remembrance of sin. New Testament is always focusing on the perfection of Christ and the forgiveness and the relief we have from sin. So we're to be conscious of our righteousness. Verse 26 in Corinthians says, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. We are to be proclaiming the fact that He did die literally. There are people in this world, and there was people back at the time that this was written, who said that Jesus never actually died a physical death. There have been various ways they try to explain it away, and they say, well, He was on the cross, but He passed out, and then when they put Him in the tomb, He revived, and He got up, and He walked away. That's not what happened. We're saying that He literally died, and we proclaim the fact of His death. That is a fact, and because of that, we are continually being refreshed, we are continually being improved upon, we are continually being cleaned, we are continually being made righteous, and that is an ongoing idea in the New Testament. That it's something that starts the moment we say, that's the decision, I accept Jesus Christ. Literally, I stake everything I have on it, and we go that way. And from that point on, we've made a life-changing decision. From that point on, God Himself, through Jesus Christ, is continually improving us, continually refreshing us, continually making us clean, and continually recognizing us as righteous. Now, I want to go on again and read some more of what Munch said about the subject of remembering. When God remembers, there is always a consequence, both merciful and just. Merciful. This is me jumping in the middle of this quote again. Merciful to the people of the covenant. Now, I'm not going to read this, but if you'd like to, it's in Luke chapter 1, verse 54, again in verse 72 of Luke, and then in Luke 23, verse 42. It's always making a reference to the people who are in covenant with God. Whether Old Testament or New Testament, God is always merciful to His people who are in covenant with Him. So, it says, God, when He remembers, there is always consequence, both merciful and just. And the ones who are in covenant with God are always on the merciful end. And just, it says, to those who are outside the covenant, it is justice in Revelation 16, 19, and again in Revelation 18, I think verse 5 in there. You'll see where it says, the people came forward and they received justice. They did not receive mercy when they stood before the great white throne judgment. They received the justice that we all deserve, but they refused the sacrifice of Christ. They refused to kneel and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus came in the flesh. I trust in Him for my salvation and righteousness. I trust in Him to give me proper understanding. And then Jesus goes way above beyond salvation. He also said, remember we talked about this earlier in this service, He also gave us all of the blessings that He experienced and all the authority to go straight to the throne of God and talk to God the Father Himself and to say, our God, my God, Father, Father, I have this problem, I have this question, I have this thing that's bothering me a whole lot. I come to You and we're not blocked out, but rather the way is made open for us. Going on with the quote, when God does not remember, now remember it says when God does remember, there's always a consequence, either merciful or justice. Then it goes on, when God does not remember, this is not a sign of forgetfulness like I do. Oh, what did I do? What am I supposed to be doing? Why did I walk out of that room into this room? And then I have to go back to remember and hope that I remember when I get back to the other room. You know how that goes? Maybe. Most of you are too young out there. If not, you'll learn. With God, it's not a matter of forgetfulness. When God does not remember, it is but a choice. He chooses to not dwell upon or to consider a person or a thing. And that's what this remembrance is, and this is why it's so important to us. Is, yeah, there's references to the sea of forgetfulness and all as far as the east is from the west. And I'm not saying that, but on this particular subject right here, it says, according to Muntz, and Muntz's dictionary is a Greek dictionary like a Vine's, Muntz's dictionary says, when this happens, God chooses not to remember. He chooses not to dwell upon the things that you have done in your past, not to dwell upon the things that you will do or the things that you're considering doing. He doesn't sit around and dwell on that. Instead, He focuses on the fact that Jesus died for our sins and the fact that He forgave us of all of our sins and has mercy upon us. The difference is the Old Testament, we are to remember our sins and we have a sacrifice. In the New Testament, we are to always focus and remember our sacrifice and start dwelling on that and not on our sins or our iniquities, because God always dwells on Jesus' sacrifice. He dwells on the beloved upon His Son and stands in amazement that Jesus, the Son of God, very God of very God, came down and died for us. And then He generously gave us not only His life, but all the blessings and authority and said, you can exercise this. Pray, seek Me, seek the guidance, seek the throne, seek for mercy. You're not perfect yet. You will get there one of these days. But until then, keep knocking, keep searching, keep seeking. It will come to you, but you've got to keep at it. Don't give up. In Hebrews it says, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. God says, I will be merciful to the things that they've done wrong, and He chooses to remember our sins no more. He will not dwell on the things that we've done in our past. If you are dwelling on the things in your past, then you're trying to do something that God Almighty does not do. He chooses not to dwell on the past. He chooses to dwell on His Son. And if we're to be followers after God, we're to do the same thing. Kick the past to the curb and say, I'm not going to dwell on you. You've been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. You died on the cross with Jesus Christ. I am focusing on and remembering the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. I am agreeing with God. I am trying to walk in Your ways, Father. Continually help me. There's another place in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the Psalm, that says, blessed is the man to whom God does not impute sin. That's us. We are favored by God because He does not impute sin on us. Even though we've committed the sin, even though we committed the thing that's wrong, He took our sin and He imputed it upon Jesus Christ at the cross. And from that point on, the Bible says, He does not impute sin to us. When we make a mistake, when we stumble and fall, instead of remembering it and holding it against us, He goes, that goes to the cross. Father, that goes to the cross. These people made a mistake. That goes to the cross. I'm vouching for them and I am improving them. I am refreshing them and I'm leading them and I'm guiding them and they will get better. And one day, he says, I promise that they will be perfect and they will stand before you in robes of righteousness. That's a promise to us. And we're to also not live in the squalor, not live in the sin, but when we do commit it, say, I committed an error, but I ask that you put it to the, impute it to the cross of Christ and let me continue in my ways before you. Bless me and keep me. I'm trusting you and I'm trusting your Son. We're to focus on what Christ accomplished and not focus on our past. The last part of that month's dictionary definition of remembering, it adds, this guy just can't help but not add a little preaching along. It says, we can praise Him that He has chosen not to remember our sins. Munce himself recognizes the difference between remembrance in the Old Testament and New Testament and what we're to focus on. And he says, but we need to praise Jesus and God because He does not remember our sins. Now the conclusion is this. An interesting thing I'd like to point out is in the Old Testament, when the sacrifice was made, the Israelites were like getting ready to go into a battle. They would go get a ram and they would sacrifice it, which would square the accounts between them as a nation and God the Father. And after that perfect ram was sacrificed, at least for that moment, they had right standing before God and they would go out. They didn't know how it was always going to win. Sometimes it says they went out and attacked. Sometimes he reduced the number down with Gideon and he kept getting a smaller and smaller number. Sometimes it says that it sounded like a great army was attacking these people and they would run in confusion and they would flee or they'd slaughter each other. We don't know how God is going to accomplish the victories in our life. But the sacrifice was made for the Israelites in order to win. When we have a struggle, or we have a problem, or we're getting ready to go into a battle, we don't have to go find the lamb or a ram and sacrifice it, but instead we stand before we enter into the battle, we say, I claim the victory through Jesus Christ. I claim His sacrifice. I claim His blood, His righteousness. I claim what He accomplished on the cross for me. Now, God, I don't know how you're going to get me through that battle, but I do trust in you to do it. And I'm going to follow your instructions to go through this. Usually most of the instructions are right here, telling us what to do or what not to do. But sometimes I've read about people, missionaries and different people, who said that they have been praying or in a particular problem. And it was just like somebody said, this is what you need to do. And they just did it and it worked out perfectly for them, miraculously even. And so we can expect direction from God our Father because Jesus said that He covers our sins. We have victory through Jesus Christ. We will make it to heaven. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper here today, I want you all to be going, I remember Jesus. I'm going to focus upon the cross and not upon my sins. And I'm going to walk in His way because I stand before God proclaiming my righteousness through Jesus Christ. And I stand before the dark host also saying, I'm righteous also. I am righteous in Jesus Christ and I will overcome you. Somehow, some way, someday, I will overcome you. At this time, we need the deacons to come forward so we can distribute the Lord's Supper.